right, everyone. Welcome to a early morning edition of Maybe Next Year, the podcast that gets Scott out of bed after his birthday party. My name's Frank.
I'm Paul.
I'm Scott.
Well, we have special treats around today. We have coffee at the table because we're recording on a Sunday morning. We have Paul in the Alexandria studio, who basically flew in for Scott's birthday and this podcast.
And this podcast. That's how it works out. When your work trip at 4:15 on a Friday gets changed to be, you've got to be back in the Buffalo office Monday. So here I am for Scott's birthday and for this pod. That's how dedicated I am to my co-hosts and my listeners.
And fresh off of several Four Locos at his own birthday party.
Those were the later Four Locos. They were not the illegal Four Locos, just to be clear.
Right. And his wife dutifully poured out some of the Four Loco when he wasn't looking, which...
So it's really
if
only
if you love somebody, that's what you do.
That's a great point, and it's really only about three locos or three and a half locos is what it ended up being.
Right, I think it's I think it is 75% loco, the three quarter loco.
Well, I mean that's the thing, and if it was just the four locos, it would have been something. But given the amount of beer that was consumed before and after, I'm ready to do some good talking about those. What are we doing?
Well, speaking of the consumption of products that are probably not very good for your body.
That can lead to you being under the influence of things.
And not entirely yourself on a Sunday. Let's talk about Marcel Darius and his incredible run of trouble, which is just...
Didn't we just do this last podcast?
I think we're going to do this a couple podcasts in a row.
I think that's the way it's trending.
Yeah. So... Doug Marrone believes in Marcel. I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about, where we want to pick it up from, because he had been...
We talked about the drug thing for the draft one, because that had happened the week of the draft, and we literally had taped that podcast the Wednesday night or the Thursday night after the press conference, and then literally the Friday after is him...
This is when he did the car race?
The retarded drag race with Jerry Hughes. And, okay, I mean, well, there's a lot to talk about all these stories, but Jerry Hughes, grow up? I mean, Marcel is...
This is why Indiana got rid of Jerry Hughes. They knew about his drag racing.
I guess so. When
you have the Indy 500, you can hide that. You can put it on the track, no one's looking, and they're just waiting now.
That was clearly... We need to get him down to the Toronto Motor Speedway or the Montreal... There's one in Montreal.
Watkins
there's
Glen,
one in Montreal.
Right?
There's one in Watkins Glen, even closer.
Exactly. Jerry Hughes needs to really... put his energies into a more effective area.
Well, Hughes seems to have
you're robbing a bank and you need a getaway driver, I think Jerry Hughes is the way to go because he got Marcel off that scene fast.
Only if you have to pick amongst bills. I'm supposing I could find a proper getaway driver, but so it does look like Jerry Hughes is going to get away with whatever. Maybe he was just there and he was just part of the drag racing, which isn't...
Which is illegal.
It is illegal, but it's like...
But it's a misdemeanor.
It's misdemeanor, and it's like stupid illegal. It's not stupid illegal in the sense that it's like... It shouldn't be illegal, because obviously it's a pretty dangerous thing to do on commercial and residential
Especially
streets.
Especially on a Friday afternoon when there are schools and kids around.
Right, this is not an overnight 2 a.m. thing, everyone. This is just simply, all right, what are you doing? Nothing, middle of the day? All right, let's go drag race.
Right. Do you think the Jills normally would have dropped the scarf, but now since they're on... sabbatical or they are on strike that they're not gonna they won't do that?
That's probably what's going on. I think there's probably a Fat Bills guy, a Fat Bills fan.
It's not good.
He's
not good.
He's seductively removes his Bills Letterman jacket and then throws it on the ground.
I like you hungover. This is good.
We're assuming most of our audience is from the 1950s, I believe, or remember Smash Mouth's Walking on the Sun video very clearly. Because those are the only visuals I'm getting right now.
So on Tuesday, Marcel Darius applied for a pretrial intervention program in a case connected to his early May arrest for felony drug and paraphernalia possessions. This is a pretty common thing to do for people who are initial offenders. They just sort of say, I have a problem. And then if they get into these things and they get treatment, then things get reduced to misdemeanors and whatnot. And it becomes like, you don't have to go to jail. You don't necessarily get probation. In this case, you probably would get some sort of probation, but things are drastically reduced, and I don't know how that would affect the NFL's ruling, because the NFL, of course, is not the law. They just sort of have their own contract that they enforce.
Make it up as they go along, yeah.
Right, well, but they stipulated in their contract, we feel free to make it up as we go along within a certain amount of reason. I feel like he's got a – he's facing three other misdemeanor charges, including the endangerment and I guess he broke something, property damage.
Yeah, it's because he hit that tree.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
watch out for that tree.
Marcel loved the jungle.
Wow, we really are in the 50s and 60s today. But I got to think he's going to miss games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is at least a four-gamer, I would expect, with all this stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Let's look at the schedule. While you're doing please talk, I'll pull up the schedule.
Obviously, the thing at this point is we're definitely going to lose him for four games. And at this point, you know, I understood at the time taking the risk of extending him another year.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of like, you know, we really, I don't want to say goodbye because I don't feel like he's a lost cause. But at the same time, I'm not sure that the Bills are in a position where they can take a risk with a guy like him. Like,
yeah.
If we were the Patriots or the 49ers or the Ravens or something, we were consistently good and we had some depth.
You can take a chance
a little bit. You can take your, you know, the Randy Moss New England or one of the bad, you know, has-been players like, you know, late Corey Dillon New England. Like,
right.
You can kind of take those risks on some questions.
Chad Ochocinco.
Exactly.
Another example.
Right. Yeah. But honestly,
and sometimes they're Randy Moss and they work out beautifully for 2 years, and sometimes they're Ochocinco and they don't. But it doesn't hurt your team because you're not relying on them.
Yeah,
the way that really the Bills kind of need Marcel Darius to be on that line
because we're very thin at defensive tackle. I mean, we have Kyle and Marcel, and then you know there's one who's there.
Yeah, it's about it. Carrington's gone, I think Alan Branch is the one I can think of.
Branch wasn't even in mini camps. Like he's had some issues OTAs.
Right.
So he wasn't there. I mean, they're all voluntary, but not really. So, and that's been kind of, people are like, oh, I don't know. Is he in, you know, and they said, oh, he's going to be fine. He'll be there for training camp, but that's not really a good thing. So yeah, it's, we're in a bad situation.
The Bills they open in Chicago, then they play home against the Dolphins and Chargers, and then they go to Houston. I think Houston's one of those teams that was really like, I think their quarterback really sort of broke a decent team that, and so depending on their situation now, especially with Clowney, they could be a really good team. The Bears obviously are a solid team. And the Dolphins, as we've been talking offline a bit, they're not bad and neither will the Chargers be. So like, and by the way, all four of those teams are quarterbacks. You know, you either have guys like Cutler and Rivers and who you need to get to because they run the offense, or you have guys like Tannehill and whoever the guy for the Texans is because...
Yeah, I don't even know who's with the Texans anymore.
Right.
Did they?
I think they might have taken a...
Well, they've got a guy named Ryan Fitzpatrick now.
And they have a guy named Arian Foster who also... It'd be nice to have somebody up front creating pressure in the backfield a la Marcel Darius.
Yeah.
Comrade Marcel.
Kyle can't do it all. You know?
He's done it all.
He's done it all, but he's 72 now.
He no longer continue to do this. Right? He's aged 72 based on... tackles made.
Miles on the body.
Yeah, he's definitely
It's not the years, honey. It's the mileage.
Oh, boy.
That's why Fred Jackson is still around, because he's 34, the oldest running back in the NFL, but, you know, he didn't have the mile. He didn't really get his first start until the game we all went to in Washington here back in 07.
So, OTAs, you brought them up. What did you guys read that you liked about OTAs? What did you not like? Anything?
You know, I think one of the things that was... concerning was just how, you know, EJ was not comfortable. They were knowing a lot of things. Doug Marrone said all the right stuff afterwards. I know his footwork's improved. You know, he's looking around better. He's got a much firmer grasp on it. But his struggles were very apparent. So, you know, I'm not particularly overwhelmingly concerned because it is June right now, and games are not won and lost in June.
Yes, for the most part, they're not. I mean, I heard Sammy was pretty good. I heard he was catching all the balls and doing all the things he needs to be doing in OTAs, which is, you know, obviously, yes, he could be going out there and falling on his face or, you know, broken a leg or something like that. So none of those things happened that I'm aware of. So that's a good thing. But, yeah, I think that's – but the thing is the defense now with everyone. I mean, we didn't really have any chance to gel, and I hope there's not going to be too much of an adjustment period in training camp for a lot of the guys who were out, because Darius missed the second half, obviously. I think Kyle was out. I think Branch was out. Alonzo was out.
Manny Lawson was out.
Lawson was out.
Alonzo was busy on the plane Right, on the way here, yeah.
We can tell that story in a minute, absolutely. Yeah.
So the defense has a lot of catching up to do in training camp. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want to touch upon the defense, too. You know, they had two big losses, one player and one coach. You lose Jairus Byrd, and you lose your best, you know, arguably your best defensive player. Ooh. And then you lose Mike Patine, who really helped. You know, we talked about the shortcomings of that defense against the run, having difficulty getting off the field on third down. They also forced more turnovers than any team in the NFL, and they, you know, got more sacks than any team in the NFL. Those are big plays that turn around games. So, you know, can this Jim Schwartz defense do it? Can it do it with these absences that Scott referenced? Can these players adjust to some new roles? And can, you know, the safety position kind of hash itself out so we don't notice Byrd's, you know, absence as much as we could? So, you know, again, tough to observe all this, no TAs. But I was a little more optimistic on the defense and the offense, but that's probably because they were better last year than the offense.
Right. I was reading some stuff, too, about Spiller and Jackson, and some of it is the same old that, you know, this is the year we're really going to use these guys properly. And so I don't know if it's even worth talking about again. Like, I guess it's just going to come to September and whether we get 20 or 25 carries out of both running backs, or if it's really kind of more of last year where they assume that throwing the ball 2 yards out is the same as a run, which it is if you can complete those passes consistently. But
and they're not sitting on those routes so that the guy can actually then do something with it after he gets 2 yards.
Right. Yeah. That needs to be like the first read, yeah, not the emergency read, because the point of CJ Spiller is that he moves well in space. So the moment he gets the space, you need to give him the ball. Yeah. So we'll see if that's the case. But I guess the OTAs, they were kind of working with some two-back sets. And the other thing that I was reading was that there's speculation that they're going to try and sign CJ to a long-term deal now, which what do you guys think about that? I don't want to spoil you with my opinion.
Yeah, it's a tough position, I think, that they're both in, because one, CJ has had one great season and done some great things in other seasons, but not consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So how much has he really earned? At the same time, if you're the Bills, not only is Fred 34, like we referenced, his contract is up the end of this year, as is CJ. So you could go, I look at the Sabres situation, when all of a sudden they lose Chris Drury and Danny Briere in the same day,
right,
and they've never been the same team since. Right. You lose two of the guys who have been your best offensive playmakers. Rotain is your best offensive playmakers, really, since 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
No offense to the guys we've had on our roster since then, but they've been the two best by far. You know, and I think if they took a chance and signed to an extension, I would be okay with it, just because otherwise you're without any viable NFL running back on your roster possibly going into next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could go either way, because honestly, I think that's in terms of the replaceable positions in the NFL, your average running back that you can pick up in the draft or in free agency is still going to be pretty serviceable. I mean, I think
Right. We
want this to be a running team, or we don't even really know what they want this team to be. We want
a winning team is what we're going for.
Exactly, and I don't think anyone really cares exactly how we get there as long as they're successful, and I think that, you know, while Spiller has had some great moments, as Paul's said, he's also had some very average games. And, and honestly, there's not, you know, everything's always about value. How much value are we going to get for him, or how much is he going to cost? And I don't know if he wants to be paid like Adrian Peterson
Right.
Then I don't
think he needs to perform something like, I don't know, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's how he can. That's how we'll have to treat him, and that's not going to – we can't resign him for Adrian Peterson money.
In the football world, he reminds me of, I guess style-wise, but more than just style-wise, Reggie Bush, in the sense that Reggie Bush still felt like when he left the Saints first, right? He was with the Saints first. Like, he was still, like, a player with a lot of ceiling that you didn't see him do that ceiling. There are guys in other sports that are like that. The guy here in D.C., Bryce Harper, for me, is, like, a tremendous talent – I still feel like he hasn't really done it yet. And the question gets to be, after 4 or 5 years, well, is he going to do it? And that's how I feel about CJ Spiller. It's like, there's no doubt that he has a whole bunch of talent in there. But after a few years, you start questioning, like, well, when are we going to see that talent? Is that really going to change? And certainly, not pinning that all on him, they've misused him. And that was certainly Chan Gailey misused him after they went and specifically got him. And they kept trying to be something that they weren't, and like we never got around to figuring out whether like he could be a proper running back or not, like a traditional style rather than proper. That's not the right word, but traditional. So I guess that's what why we're all in this boat is he was a first round pick, like top 10 pick. And the fact that 4 years later, we don't know if we would really need to keep him or not, that's troubling to me. It should be, you know, or you don't, that he's a lock. So it kind of bothers me that that you're in that place. And as Scott says, you can get running backs. Now, you can't get C.J. Spiller, Adrian Peterson running backs, but you can get two running backs, and I don't know.
I mean, we already have, what's the guy, Bryce Brown that we picked
up and people,
in the offseason?
Yeah, they liked him.
I mean, again, like, that guy was pretty good at Kansas State, and the Eagles liked him. I mean, obviously, they got one out and got Sproles.
Right.
So he was expendable. They didn't like him that much. But still, I mean, that's a guy who's an NFL running back.
Yeah. They'll be college kids next year. That's the other thing. Like, just young legs sometimes is good enough for a year or two.
No, there's my boy Melvin Gordon at Wisconsin is pretty much the one of the top five running backs next year, and he could play in the league right now this year. And they said he would have been maybe a first round pick. So you can get
even a guy like Trent Richardson, who like kind of has fizzled out already. Like his first year with the Browns was okay. Like he did fine. And then if he, because he's just young and strong, and you can just do that for a year, and then if you haven't learned the game by then, well, okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
So, and certainly New England is the example of...
You just don't want to overpay for them, and that's the key
thing. Yeah, you want to spend money elsewhere, like on your quarterback.
Yeah, if you're going to overpay for a running back, it's got to be, I don't know, maybe Adrian Peterson would be a guy who would overpay to be your
Or AP,
running
he'd
back.
Be good too.
Yeah, AP. Oh,
there's also, there are other running backs in the league. LeSean McCoy, he's a good running back.
Yeah, I kind of wish.
I remember him now.
Is he available, or was he just available?
No, he was. He was the one, I don't know...
LeSean Jackson's gone. I feel like LeSean, but they would never let go of LeSean McCoy because he is.
No.
He's to me like the C.J. Spiller
who does what he's supposed to.
He gets to the ceiling.
That's kind of the archetype of who C.J. Spiller should be.
Right.
Like he's
and by now he should be doing that.
Exactly.
And again, I am not putting that all on his feet because I really feel like the
our offensive line run blocking was just awful last year.
Right.
You know.
And Frank made the Gailey, C.J. Spiller on third downs? No thanks.
Yep. Right.
When we have Tashard Choice on the roster,
C.J. Spiller after he got 20 yards rushing? No thanks.
Yeah.
Inside the 20? No thanks. And it's just like, what are you doing, right? Now, Marone, I think, used him a little better last year, but they were stuck with, the quagmire of quarterback, and they that affects everything, as we've talked
about.
Right,
at least last year, with Marone, one assuring sign to me was, usually when it was C.J. coming out of the game, it would be him pulling himself out of the game. You wouldn't see... and of course, you would rotate in Freddie sometimes. Because
he wasn't
Freddie's
calling still. For the lefty. He was right.
Right, right. It was just CJ being like, "All right, I'm winded. Get me out of here."
All right. Well, let's break from football talk to so Paul can share his story.
Yes. So
his newlyweds story, actually.
Right. Yes. So I was making this trip down to DC. Told my wife I was making this work trip, which has now become a pleasure trip. But she decides she's going to come down, visit some friends too, as you know, she lived in this area. This is where we met. So she gets on the plane and she, is in Buffalo and says, "Oh, there's this good looking guy wearing a Bill shirt, just sitting in a row." And she decides, "You know what? I'm not going to sit with this guy because this is too good looking a guy to sit next to, when I'm a married woman."
She did say this, which
she did. Yes. This is me reporting the story directly. So she sits, behind this guy on the plane and, he gets up to go to the restroom at one point and she hears, some whisperings and so forth. And eventually she determines that this person is in fact a Buffalo Bill. So she, I've got to tell her, she's got to find out who this is when she reports this to me. So she goes, does what any good wife does and goes to the Buffalo Bills team website, looks down the roster and says, bam, there's that good looking guy who was on the plane in front of me. That guy was Kiko Alonso. So
the legend of Kiko,
the legend of
grows.
Kiko Alonso. It does. He can fly on a plane, a Southwest flight, and flying to Baltimore. So he was flying into Baltimore. He was headed over to Annapolis to hang out with some friends this weekend. So Kiko, if you're listening, which I know you're not, I hope you are having a good time out in Annapolis. It is a beautiful city. I took my wife there, who, again, has good taste, no, not to sit next to a guy as good-looking as you in a confined quarter. I took her there for her birthday a few years back. So, you're going to have a great time.
Don't drink too much.
Don't drag race.
Don't drag race. Don't drink and drive.
Don't like Baltimore too much.
Don't like Baltimore too much. And, fly home safely. Safe travels, okay? Because the whole team is meaningless without you at this point. The whole defense. I'm not
right. If you like Baltimore too much, then you've turned into, you know, Willis McGahee or Jim Leonard or Justin Bannon or the other players who played much better in Baltimore than they did when they were in Buffalo.
Oh God.
The list of Bills who played better elsewhere is phenomenal. It's an all-star. It's a Super Bowl team.
It is. You got Marshawn Lynch on there.
The Pats, yeah.
The only thing that we didn't send elsewhere that was good is quarterback, I think. I think you could probably find somebody else who left Buffalo.
And yeah, Bledsoe won a few games for the Cowboys, but he was replaced by Romo before he got through one season in Dallas. And then, yeah, Fitzpatrick's had some spot starts. Lossman's had a couple. Trent Edwards had one disastrous start with Jacksonville. But, yeah, that's they've made good decisions in jettisoning their bad decisions at quarterback.
Sigh. Tom Golisano may have a plan for the stadium, and also Terry Pegula may want to buy the Buffalo Bills, which is encouraging because Terry Pegula has a lot of money from tearing up parts of Pennsylvania and West Virginia. But they sold like 7,500 square. They got like a couple billion dollars for tons of square acres over in West Virginia, which I didn't know you could sell. That just sort of blew my mind that he had that much land in West Virginia and that it would be worth that much. But hey, but these guys are the latest. We'd like to own the Bills people.
And we should point out that Tom Golisano is now engaged to Monica Seles, who is, of course, 37 years younger than him, I believe.
She's more than. Is Monica Seles even 37 years old?
She's 40, I believe. Okay. He's 77. Something like that. I'd have to look at those numbers officially again.
She's 77. She's 36, because that's me.
I think Golisano is 77.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that again. Okay, I'd have to look at my numbers. But the point being, we've been talking about Mr. Wilson for years. When we were doing this podcast in 5-10 years, we've been talking about Ms. Seles. That's just something to consider, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It would be the estate tax thing again. I don't know if she would be able to have the fortune. I don't know what Golisano's fortune is outside of the...
Right. He's got billions, but so did Ralph, and he didn't want to deal with that tax either. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing how that goes down the line. Of course, now we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
you know,
assuming stay together and they buy the team and all that. So.
Pegula's 75,000 acres of land in West Virginia and Ohio went for $1.75 billion, and people think that's because you need to have a certain amount of liquidity to get the loan to buy a football team for $1 billion.
Yeah.
You have to actually have, like, I think a third of it available in cash.
Yeah.
Like, you have to show them your throne made of money, and they measure it, and they can tell by how big it is, you know.
You have to put all the cash in a big thing, and then they weigh the cash.
Right. Because
at that point, you can't count it.
Right. Well, back in the day, they had the money bin, like, a la Scrooge McDuck.
Exactly.
And they would dive in and they wouldn't tell if you had.
You could swim down. If you held your nose, you were under the water. You were under the bills long enough, you know.
Right. And back way before then.
We've all been under the bills long enough.
When you really, you know, back way before, you know, even cash was used as a primary means of ownership and buying, you would just have to whip your penis onto a scale.
And
you had to hope you came out better than the other guy. And then you had a length versus girth debates. It was really crazy. So I think as messed up as this system is, somewhat better.
Yep.
Because Monica Seles would never own the Bills under that criteria.
No, it's true.
Yeah, that is a very good point. I went down to the post office the other day, and the post office, I mailed the guy had been working there for 27 years, and he said he had never seen anyone mail something that big, and it was a 7x10 foot rug that I rolled up, brought in there, so it's like 7 feet tall, and you know, it's rolled up, and he was like, that's too long, and I'm like, no, it is not, because I went to the post office website, and I put in the dimensions, and he said, okay, I'll have to verify just to make sure. And then they couldn't quite get it onto the scale because, you know, the scale's right on the... This is the most fascinating post office conversation ever, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Listeners at home.
I can't wait to see where this is going.
I will note...
talking about this, but okay.
I will note the cat who is sleeping throughout the football discussion is now wide awake for the post office discussion.
Yeah. And you know, they couldn't get it onto the scale because it was too, like, long because some of the... Yeah. So, but yeah. And it ended up being just inside the combined length and girth dimensions, because that's how they do it at the post office. When you have the cylindrical packages, they have to measure the length and the girth. Can't be Greater than 130 inches. That's the rule.
I don't even know what joke we can make that's...
Nope. Yeah. Nothing there.
Yeah, I think that was actually a very good story. It actually left Frank and I speechless, and not in a way that was like...
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
No, you can't follow that. I mean, you might as well just stop the podcast now. That
post if you want to reach us on Twitter, it's at... Okay, sorry.
Minicamp, is this week or next week?
Next week.
Next week. That's the mandatory minicamp, so everyone should be there. Right. I don't think there's anybody who can't be there.
I mean, you can get a medical, you know, you can tell the coaches, oh, my back's hurting.
Or right.
And they'll let you out.
But right. But you're right. There's not anybody who's like, we know of this.
Yeah, there's no Jairus Byrd holdout type situation. I think that's going to
affect
the team.
Nobody who's like definitely like injured already and had surgery.
We actually signed all the draft picks at this point,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Which is good. Because then they can all be there.
Yep.
And EJ Manuel hasn't had like a secret surgery on his knee again.
Has any of our backup quarterbacks slipped and fell on like a rubber mat at any point that, you know, broken a hand or anything?
Lacerated buttocks, perhaps? Rob Johnson.
There have been these quarterback injuries with them have been just crazy. And even look at Kevin Cobb's concussion that probably ended his career.
Right.
We all saw that play. Did it look like
his
head was even touched?
It looked like nothing. Yeah. It looked like he got hit hard, and that was the end of Kevin Cobb.
Which
I guess is, you know, maybe we didn't really talk about that enough at the end of last year when we were lambasting EJ a little. Like, that was not the plan. EJ Manuel was not supposed to start those first few weeks. It was supposed to be Kevin Cobb, and in a blink in the first game, it was over on a nothing play.
Yeah, pretty much. And EJ played really well, which I think helped his case. It made everyone a little more confident that he could do it. But really, Cobb was going to be the primary, I think, option. It's like EJ's going to have to be better than him theoretically.
Right. I mean, I think everybody knew, like, at some point it was going to get passed over.
Yeah.
But Kevin Cobb was going to get the team started because he was a veteran.
Yeah, and he'd done well with the Cardinals the year before he got hurt for the season. But, of course, that's the red flag. This is a guy who was getting hurt for long stretches of time.
Kevin
Cobb. And if you have one concussion, every concussion, it's easier to get concussions after you've had that first one. Each one, you become more susceptible.
All right. Well, I don't think we have much else to talk about. So
I didn't actually hear Paul's opinion on the whole Darius thing.
You know, it's
funny. I don't remember if you had.
Yeah, it was.
As a crack dealer, Paul has a different take.
Right. I mean, he's keep doing what you're doing, Marcel. You know, it's when I talked at length about him last time. We went to some, kind of funny 90s references about, you know, you just got to wait. You don't worry about getting high. You can wait till you retire and all this. But mm-hmm. I obviously Marcel's issues go a lot deeper, than we realize that he's. Warned about this, you know, he knew what the problem was, he talked about it, and then the next day he still goes out and does something. So I always kind of look at the guy who played for the Bills for years named, Michael Hargrove? Anthony Hargrove, thank you. And, you know...
I didn't even know you could get in trouble in a bar in Rochester.
Yes, but he managed
to,
yeah.
And I was just like, I've been to the bar that he was been to.
You've tried to cause trouble in bars in Rochester,
hard.
And you just can't do it, yeah.
It's easier than it used to be, I'll give you that, but... Man, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but just I think, you know, in a Hargrove, you know, the more you read about the guys, he like, what was it? He saw his father kill his mother or something. He had some crazy background story and just a really rough life. And I think Marcel's probably got the same thing. And it's probably been a lot more difficult for him to just kind of look at a friend in the face and his friend just tell him, yeah, you just need to cut this shit out and cut this stuff out. We can edit that out later.
He needs this.
But I think this intervention might be a very good thing for him because. He could just keep spiraling down this wrong path a la like Chris Farley did, who, you know, has 1,000 different warnings and millions of reasons not to go down the path, but he does anyway. So let's hope someone can straighten out Marcel.
Yeah, it's definitely rationality takes a backseat to a lot of this kind of stuff. And, you know, heaven forbid, man, that's a tough thing to have your brother die violently and he already
lost his mom.
Right.
His
anytime we're talking about this, I think any listener should know, like, we understand that there's a deeper tapestry of a person that compels people to do this. So we're not like judging him as a person, but when we're talking about football, like these are the impacts on football. So
right, same like we did with last year with Terrell Troop when he broke down and started to cry during the interview about how saying you realize like, you know, we see him as a second round pick who's failed to live up to expectations. But what he really is a guy who's trying his hardest but has this chronic back ailments that weren't allowing him to perform his best and was under an immense amount of pressure to do so and criticism for not doing so.
Right.
So.
And sometimes you're Mario Williams and you got to give your you know, engagement ring back. Like, there's like people have lives that are, you know, that affect football. So do your best, as we try to sometimes when we remember to view people as people and not as pieces on your Madden football tapestry or whatever. That's twice I've used tapestry.
That's all right.
I like that word.
It's go with tapestry.
It's a rich tapestry of tapestries.
Yes.
So I think we go into our phases where we overuse certain words and underutilize others. And
like Adrian Peterson.
Right. I mean, that's at least seven on this podcast for Adrian Peterson. And this is not a Vikings podcast.
Not at all. If you want more of Baby Next Purple, we'll...
More Adrian Peterson talk next week.
We can certainly talk about not winning Super Bowls, because the Vikings are familiar with that as well.
Well, I don't know that we have anything else to really talk about, because we didn't, I mean...
It is June.
It's June.
It is. This is kind of an opportunistic podcast of, hey, we're all in the same area.
Let's cut class early. Mm-hmm. Let the guys go out and have a little lunch, you know, before.
Enjoy the beautiful weather, because I know it's beautiful in Buffalo. It's beautiful here in Alexandria, unless D.C., so I'm sure it's probably beautiful, except in Bangladesh. Right now, it's beautiful everywhere.
Yeah. Ukraine. Well, Chechnya, really.
This will be two straight days we've had to have this discussion.
Okay. Well, if you'd like more, if you'd like to email us and let us know what you think, or just give us opinions, or send us a picture. Tell us to stop, right?
Please stop wasting your time and ours. Right. Sincerely, your listeners.
bbillsmny@gmail.com. So Buffalo Bills maybe next year. bbillsmny on Twitter, which is usually Paul running the show. If you go to our facebook.com/bbillsmny, you can ask Scott something or post something on, talk to some of our other listeners who do engage there. So that's fun. We're on the iTunes. If you search for Buffalo Bills maybe next year, if you go to our website, bbillsmny.wordpress.com, you can actually click on a link and add that to your non-iTunes podcasting queue, and it'll load right up. I do that. I have an Android, and so it loads up the podcast nice and easy. And that's about it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll probably be back in a month-ish, and we'll check in after.
And that might be when I come in D.C., so maybe we'll get to do it another
live episode
again. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll definitely do that, and we'll talk about minicamp and any other developments, and it'll really almost be a Hall of Fame game time, really, because the Bills are the first on the on the block.
We'll talk about Andre Reed.
Training camp starts July 27th, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. We'll be in the swing of it. So thank you.
And what also is interesting is, as much as we've talked about the Bills dramas, they're interesting again. We'll say you've got Marcel and his problems. You got Jerry Hughes involved in this. You've got bringing aboard Mike Williams.
Right,
you know, Sammy Watkins had some interesting issues before we brought him aboard. So we've got some the Mario Williams. We've got a lot of characters on this team. So that's made it somewhat interesting this year.
Yeah. Doesn't help our podcast, though, amazingly.
Still terrible.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and have a good month. Enjoy your summer. My name is Frank.
I'm Paul.
I'm Scott.
Goodbye, everybody.